Praise the Lord. You know, this month our theme is walking with Christ. And George and I were talking, and he asked if there was any particular song that I could think of that I would like to have them do. And I said the In the Garden song. So I want to thank you for that, George, and but I didn't expect you to sing it like that. But it's a blessing. It is a tremendous blessing. So God bless you for that. Before I launch into today's message, I just want to correct the record with Robert Craig that I'm not wearing this blue mask because I was ashamed to wear my Spartan mask. I just simply forgot and left it in the car. But I am in mourning. You are right about that. So, but they will be back. Thank you, Grace, for last week. What a blessing to all of us that was. I'm going to say more about that in my message a little bit later on. If you're a member of Valley Brook, you should have received a Zoom invite for our 2 p.m. welcoming of our new members. That will also be a part of this 2 o'clock meeting where we'll have a Q&A session. We will begin by receiving our new members virtually via Zoom by just introducing ourselves to them, giving them a hug verbally, and then we will go right into our Q&A session. For those of you who have questions about the budget, for those of you who do not, feel free to leave immediately after we welcome our new members. Okay. Do you have any idea what you have gotten yourself into? Do you have a clue about what is going on by virtue of your saying yes to Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you have any idea the wondrous journey that you have embarked upon? And I can say after all these years of knowing Jesus, I don't. I only have a smidgen of a smidgen's smidgen of an idea of what I have gotten myself into. It is more glorious than we can imagine, let alone describe. I was thinking about the Psalm 106, verse 2, where the psalmist says, "Who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord? Or can show forth all his praise?" And the obvious answer is, not me. But we're going to take some time this month to talk about what it means to walk with Jesus as he walks with us. Some would look at this month's series of messages as discipleship, our responsibility, our duty, our do-ism, if you will, as Christians. I'm going to surprise you this morning with a different perspective. Today's message is titled, Walking with Christ Really Means Walking with Christ. Walking with Christ really means walking with Christ, as opposed to walking in a way that looks like Jesus. Or walking in a way that fulfills the responsibilities of Christian duty. Walking with Christ really means walking with Christ. And if you're taking notes, here's the main idea. Walking with Christ is not something we have to do. Walking with Christ is something we get to do. Walking with Christ is not something we have to do. It is something we get to do. Why isn't it something we have to do? Because salvation is free. It is a gift from God, not of works that anyone should boast. And yet the scripture calls us to walk with him, to follow him, to be a disciple, to be an imitator of him. Duty is an important word. It's an important word. It means a moral or legal obligation, a responsibility, a task or an action that someone is required to perform. That's duty. It's my duty as a good neighbor to follow the rules of the HOA. It's my duty as a good citizen to pay my taxes. Honor is another story. Honor is another story. It's something as regarded as a rare opportunity and bringing pride and pleasure. Honor is a privilege. It is an honor to walk with Christ. It is not just my duty. It is an honor to walk with Christ. It is an honor that Jesus would choose me as one of his followers. It is an honor that the Lord of all creation would want to have anything to do with this life of mine, with my life at all. Who am I? Who am I? People pay great money to sit under the world's greatest minds and the world's greatest artists for their tutelage. Who am I that the creator of heaven and earth, the universe itself, would choose me to sit under his tutelage? I didn't choose him. He chose me. You did not choose me, he said. I chose you. It is an honor for me to walk with Christ. So walking with Christ is not something I have to do. It's something I get to do. Now, everything else that I have to say this morning, everything else I have to say is the why of that statement. Why it's something I get to do and not something I have to do. And I want to share with you three huge benefits that accompany walking with our living Lord. Not an idol, not a concept, not a religious notion, not a set of rules, walking with the living Christ. Three huge benefits that are ours, and they are: one, the life of Christ himself; two, supernatural ordinary days; and three, a heavenly buffet. I could name 25,000 million, but who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord or can show forth all his praise? Nobody. So I decided on three. And these three are enough. I mean, these three are enough to send us sailing. These three are enough to cause us to scratch our heads and say, why me? How in the world did I wind up in this situation with God? Me. So let's talk about these. The first one is the life of Christ himself. The life that we experience in Christ is not separate from Christ himself. Let me say that again. This is a big idea. The life that we experience in Christ is not separate from Christ himself. In other words, Jesus didn't just give us life and stand back and watch it work. The life that he gave us is Jesus himself. He is the life himself. The love of Christ is not separate from Christ himself. To experience his love is to experience him. When your soul is blessed with the overwhelming realization of Christ's love, you are experiencing Christ himself. Not a zap from heaven. You are experiencing Christ because the love of Christ is integrally connected to Christ himself. When you experience his overwhelming love, you are experiencing Christ himself. He is personally enfolding you with it. When I give Laverne a big hug, I'm not sending it to her from afar. I'm giving her a big hug and she nestles into it, and sometimes she says, my endorphins are being released. The joy of the Lord is not separate from the Lord. It is the joy of the Lord, not joy from the Lord. It is the joy of the Lord. You could say that the joy of the Lord is the joy of the Lord's presence. And when you are experiencing that joy, you are experiencing Jesus himself, not just something that he sent. The glory of the Lord is not separate from the Lord himself. When we are experiencing the glory of the Lord in its multiple ways, we are experiencing the Lord. To experience the glory of the Lord is to experience the Lord himself. Let me give you an example here in Exodus 33. Wonderful passage where the Lord and Moses are having dialogue together. And Moses says, "Show me your glory." And listen to what the Lord says. The Lord says, when my glory passes, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand. Listen to what he says here. Until I have passed by. When my glory passes, I'm going to put you in a cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. If I'm going to send my glory past you, Moses, I am going to go past you because my glory is a part of me. You are going to experience me. And so I need to hide you so you can't see my face as my glory passes you. To experience the glory of the Lord is to experience Christ himself. It's to experience him, he himself. The glory of the Lord and the Lord himself are one and the same. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the glory that filled the temple. You know the story where the priests were ministering and the glory of the Lord came into the temple, and it was so rich, so deep, so full, so bountiful that they could no longer minister. That wasn't just smoke. It wasn't like, no, that was God himself filling the temple. The glory of the Lord is part of the Lord himself. The New Testament is explicit about this. Well, let me back up. When you experience the peace of God, you're not just experiencing peace from God. It says you are experiencing the peace of God, the peace that comes with God himself, that is a part of God himself. So on those days when trouble is so big that you can't handle it and you feel this overwhelming sense of peace, guess what? You are experiencing Jesus Christ himself in that moment with you. Not just a mystical experience from on high. What I'm talking about is his personal connection and involvement, his personal embrace of each one of us, his personal investment in you, Michael, his nearness. The nearness of the Lord is my good, said David. The New Testament is explicit about this. In Colossians 3, verse 4, it says, Christ is your life. Christ doesn't just give you life, he is your life. The experience of life in Christ, all the wonderful stuff that we have a hard time describing, All the wonderful things that we share in our Bible study. All the wonderful little things that we experience of him that we share on Marco Polo or text one another or email one another, or when we come together here on Sunday morning and afterwards we share with one another what's been going on in our lives and we talk about how the Lord has been helping us and involved in our lives. All of that is the life of Christ. And all of that is Christ himself. It's the very presence of Christ that makes all of that happen. It's not separate from him. 1 John 5:11 says, life is in the Son. It's in the Son. 1 John 5:20 says, he is eternal life. He is eternal life. He doesn't just give it. He is eternal life. John 1:4 says, in him there was life, and that life was the light of men. So when we see light, when we see truth, when we have awareness, when our eyes are open, it's not God zapping us from afar. You are experiencing the presence of Jesus Christ right then and there in your midst. I don't know about you, but that marvels me. I'm not just having an experience. I'm having an encounter. That's what I'm saying. You're not just having an experience when the life of Christ bubbles up inside of you and you want to mute yourself like Keisha and not let anybody hear you jumping up and down and rejoicing because it's so effusive. That is the joy of the Lord. And that is what we get when we walk with Jesus. That is one of the benefits. That's why it's not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. Walking with Christ really means walking with Christ, the living Christ. The second thing, I could go on about that one because when we talk about life in Christ, we're talking about the qualitative difference that Jesus makes in our lives. Well, that qualitative difference is not just what he does. That qualitative difference is him. It is he himself who walks with you and talks with you and tells you that you are his own. And that will never change. Every day of your life, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, that is the same. But supernatural ordinary days. I just call this another day, and this is my list, and I'm just sharing it with you. We get to experience by walking with him. Supernatural ordinary days, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago in one of my messages. I know I talked about supernatural ordinary days. But this is what it means to me. It's another day to celebrate, Lord, your presence in me. Every day I wake up is another day I get to celebrate your presence in me, the miracle of the eternal companionship of the Holy Spirit of God. Every single day my eyes pop open. It's also another day to grow in my knowledge of you. It says in 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says, grow in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And I was blessed by that verse during my time with the Lord on Monday. And it was all that I needed. That is what I really want to do, I said to the Lord. Those words embody everything I live for today. They embody the driving force in my life, growing in my knowledge of Jesus Christ himself. Not just growing in my knowledge of how to behave as a Christian, or how to do this or how to do that, but growing in my knowledge of Jesus himself. It embodies the driving force in my life. It provides me the perspective that frames everything that happens to me. And I believe that those words are fundamentally God's big plan and his big idea for each one of us, for us to grow in our knowledge of him. Because from that knowledge springs and sprouts everything else that he wants to accomplish in our lives. And everything else that he wants to accomplish through our lives, it all springs forth through that knowledge and grace that comes from him. That one sentence and my heart filled up. That one sentence and my aspiration was kindled anew. My focus was sharpened. The words toppled out fresh and encapsulated everything that my heart is yearning for. Another day to grow in knowledge of him. Another thing is another day to receive his coaching and his instruction. Another day. Every day, we are products of his work, all of us. We are what we are by his grace. We are products of his work, and we are his work in progress. We are both. We sit here thinking what we think, feeling what we feel, wanting what we want, seeing what we see, praying what we pray, understanding what we understand, because we are a product of his work. Our yearning, Brother Edgar, our yearning for more is a reflection of us being his work in progress. The fact that we yearn for more is evidence of his work in us. Sometimes I'd like to take some of you brothers and sisters, and sometimes you probably need to take me aside and say, you know, you are frustrated because you don't have it the way you want it right now. You're frustrated because you're not where you want to be right now. You're not dealing with this the way you want to deal with it right now. But you know what I see? I see someone who wants to deal. I see someone in whom God is so working that the desire to be more and to receive more and to display more is shining forth from you. And the Lord is not looking at your performance, brother, as much as you think he is. The Lord is not looking at your outward appearance as much as you think he is. He took care of that with Jesus. You know what he's looking at now? He's looking at that heart that is saying, I want more. That's holy. And every day, he is doing that work in us. Every day. He's relentless. He won't give up. He won't stop. He's going to keep on knocking. And if you shut the door, he's going to go to the window and knock. And you shut the windows, you're going to hear the basement door knock. You close everything off, you'll hear him walking on the ceiling, on the chimney, on the roof. He will not give up. And every day you are awake and every day you are in Christ, which is forever, you are his work in progress. And you are a product of his work. So another day to receive his coaching and his instruction by the Holy Spirit. Also, another day to develop a deeper trust in you, Lord. You know, he is everything that happens to you, John. You've heard me say it before. Everything that happens to you is designed to do one simple thing. The evil one comes in and he wants to wreck your world. And he comes in and he does his mischief. And he messes up your stuff. And he takes stuff away. And he thinks he's got you. You know what the Lord is doing? The Lord is coming right into that mess and all those broken pieces. He's putting them all together, and he is presenting you with a gift that will take you to a deeper level of trust in him. That's what he wants. The devil means it for evil. He means it for good. And what he wants to crush, the Lord wants to glorify. And so what happens is, as we become more trusting, we become invincible. We become invincible. The very thing that he means to do by destroying us creates invincibility. And that doesn't mean trouble-free. It does not mean chaos-free. It does not mean everything is pleasant. It doesn't mean that he can't topple stuff. But it does mean you're invincible, because it says in Psalm 125:1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken. That's what he's given us. So what the devil breaks, he puts together. He says, this is intended to make you invincible, John. Because when your trust is in me, nothing can shake you. And every day, he is developing for us, through all the chaos and the cacophony and all of the mess, he is developing in us a deeper trust in him. Not just for his ego, but for our security. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Another day of your care. Every day you wake up, as you are walking with Jesus, you receive another day of his care. Every single day. Cast all of your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. What I loved about Grace's message last week, I wrote it down. I think I even made it the Monday morning boost. I loved it so much that I put my pen down, not because she didn't have more to say, but my tummy filled up. On this one idea, like the disciples, we all have our moments. Our moments of doubt and uncertainty and struggle, just like them. But we get to have those moments with him. We don't have to take those moments and struggle alone. We don't have to take those moments and hide in shame. We don't have to cower, and we don't have to curl up in a little ball. We can take those moments and share them with him. Every single day. He is with us in those moments. I mean, my heart was just broken when the wide receiver for the Raiders, 22 years old, 22, got in a car accident. He's driving 156 miles an hour, runs into the back of a 23-year-old woman. Her car catches on fire. She dies, and even her dog dies. He's facing up to 46 years in prison. 22, rising star, and this woman is now gone, and her family is left to grieve. It was terrible every way that you could look at it. Just terrible. Twice the limit, the alcoholic limit. He was over the alcohol limit by twice. Intoxicated. And when I read that, he's 22. I remember being 22. And if you're honest, many of us, we say, boy, that could have been me. I wasn't smarter. I wasn't more disciplined. And yet, even at this point, even though that young man at 22 years old right now, his career as a football player is done. He will never be running out catching passes again. He'll never hear the roar of the crowd again for him. He will never pocket millions of dollars as a wide receiver for the Las Vegas Raiders ever again. That's done. That chapter, his life as he knew it, is done. But even then, if he knows Jesus Christ, his life is not over. The life he knew is over. But the life that Jesus has for him is more glorious than he could ever imagine. Even now. Because that's what Jesus does. He is a redeemer. It's what he does. Another day of his care. We get to have our moments with him. Another day to experience his affection. And I'm just going to go through these because I could talk about all these forever. Another day to experience his affection. You know, he doesn't just love you, he likes you. He likes you. See, love can just be about duty. But Paul said to the Corinthians, I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. It's more than just my duty to you, Corinthians. I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus, the affection that he has for you. And every day we get to experience another blessing of his affection. Another day to be blessed with awareness of his glory, as I said. You never know how big, how small, when it's going to show up. But every day we can anticipate, as Grace was saying, expect glory. Every day. Another day to anticipate partnership with him. If the Lord uses you to influence one person closer to him, what an honor. It's not the size of your ministry. It's that God chose you for it. It's not the size of your influence. It's that God chose you to influence that person, that it's significant to him. It's precious to him. And every day is a possibility for a greater partnership with him. Another day of his craftsmanship as he uniquely customizes our relationship with him. Michael's relationship is not the same as George's. George's is not the same as Marlo's. Marlo's is not the same as Flamina's. And every day we wake up, the Lord is customizing and crafting our unique individual relationship with him. He is speaking our language. He is ministering to us in accordance with his knowledge of us, his purposes for us, and his love for us. Another day to experience his creativity in the way he does stuff, because he doesn't do it like us. And he surprises us with the creative ways, and specifically with his timing and his precision, his timing when it happens, precision, how he fits it all together. He doesn't leave any parts. There are no leftover parts when he puts it together. Oh, well, where did this go? Precise. Perfect. And every day we get to experience his creativity. And the third thing, I'm going to end with this one now. As I said, a heavenly buffet. Why do I say it's not something we have to do, but something we get to do? Just listen for a minute. All of these, by the way, all these verse references will be in my notes. If you want to go to the website later on this evening and go under sermons, they'll be there. But I just want you to, I want you to feel this more than I want you to think this. Okay? Just feel this. Listen to these descriptions of the Lord who is our life. and who is bidding us to walk with him. Psalm 27:4, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Beauty. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. This week's View from My Place, which is in your bulletin, focuses on this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 36:7, how priceless is your unfailing love. How precious is your loving kindness, O Lord. Psalm 36:8, they feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink from the river of your delights. Psalm 43:4, God, my exceeding joy, my exceeding joy. That is, you are a joy that exceeds all other joys. Psalm 63:5, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of food. My soul, my deep down inner self, not just my body, not just my flesh, not just my corporal being, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. Psalm 65:4, blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your court. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. Psalm 81:10, open wide your mouth, Laverne. Open wide and I will fill it. I, myself, I won't fill it with something. Open wide your mouth and I, myself, will fill it. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat. Psalm 81:16. You would be fed with the finest of wheat. And with honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. This is not talking about our external conditions, brothers and sisters. Although it involves that sometimes, the Lord will use the external conditions to cultivate within us the rich inner life that he wants us to enjoy, that is immutable, that is indestructible, that is eternal. That's what he's talking about, what I want to be to you. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. And he says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money. You who have no money, you think you need money. If only I had more money. Lord, give me more money. Money is the need. Listen, this is you. You ain't got no money, this is you. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come. Buy and eat. Buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money anyway on what's not bread? And your labor on what doesn't satisfy. You know the futility of that. You buy it, you got it, you're bored with it, it breaks, you get something else. Goes out of style, you throw it away, you donate it. Why spend money on what is not bread, your labor on what doesn't satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Jeremiah 15:16, when your words came, I ate them, and they were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord Almighty. We bear his name in Christ. And this is the effect that God wants to produce in our lives. This is how he wants us to receive his word. But it's a work that he does, and he says, come to me. Jeremiah 31:14, I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. I will refresh the weary. Are you weary? I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. And listen to this. These are all Old Testament verses. And Jesus, our living Lord, the one who said, follow me, the one who came from heaven to earth and physically walked on earth, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, the Christ, the Savior, the human, the man-God, the God-man, who existed in time, existed in history, walked on this earth. He said these words. He knew all about those verses, and he wrapped them all up in these simple words. He said it's all found in a relationship with himself. And he framed it this way. I am the way. I'm the truth. And I, myself, I am the life. I am the life. It's not out there somewhere, it's here. And if you've got me, you've got the life. And all I want to do while I'm in your life, Demetrius, all I want to do is show you the life you got. Because I know that you don't know what you got. You think you know, but I want to live inside of you. And throughout the rest of your life on this planet, I want to reveal to you more and more the life you really have in me. So follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Come on, let's go. You see, follow me. What do you think? Follow me. No. Follow me. No, no, no. Come on, let's go. That's the spirit of it. Come on, I got something to show you. Come with me. I want to show you something that you wouldn't believe if you were told. I want to show you things about you that you would never have understood if I hadn't opened your eyes to see them. I want to show you some things about the quality of the life that you have that you don't see right now because you're miserable about what's happening externally. I want to take you to another place. So follow me. Walk with me. Come on, let's go. That's the spirit, brothers and sisters. And that's why it's not something we gotta do. It's something we get to do. It's an invitation. Not some mandate. You're free. He set you free. With that freedom. Follow me. Let's go. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth. And then he said, he declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And on John 7:37, it says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood. And he said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Remember those verses in Jeremiah about thirsty? The Lord saying, I satisfy the thirsty ones and I refresh everyone who languishes. Jesus knew that. He was saying, I'm the one that offers that to you. You know those verses about God being the one who satisfies the thirsty? And fills the hungry with good things? Well, hey, guess what? I am he. I'm the bread of life. If you come to me, you'll never go hungry. And you believe in me, you'll never be thirsty. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. So there you have it. Walking with Christ truly is walking with the living Christ. And it's not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. Because it gives us access to the life of Christ himself. It gives us access to supernatural, ordinary days. And it gives us access to a heavenly buffet that is just beginning. Just beginning. And I'm done. Let's stand for our benediction. Lord, that's all we can say is thank you. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. And even so, it would not be enough. Oh, Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you, Son, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the life that we have in you. Though we do not know its scope or its measure, we say thank you for what you have revealed. And oh, glory, Lord, thank you for what you will reveal. Day after day, as we are transformed from glory to glory by your glory, we thank you for choosing us to be a part of this magnificent thing called eternal life. And indeed, Lord, you are that life. So as we leave this place, we ask that you would continue to help us to draw near to you for all things, in all things, about all things. And now may the love of God, the grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with each of us now and forever. Let us all say, amen.